I'm going to ask you, Brother Rick, why don't you find Psalms 91? And can does he? Do you have a mic back there, Robert? Okay. Rick, if you can pull up Psalms 91. We were just singing about that, Chris, and you guys can play that softly. But I want to hear that Psalms 91. That just made me hungry for this word. If you can pull it up on your phone or in your Bible, look at it. Kathy, you can get it, Psalms 91. Let's see here, Brother Rick. Why don't we start with verse 1 and 2 and read down to verse 11, okay? Read to verse 11. Psalms 91, 1 through 11. Go ahead, Chris.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall...
And under His wings?
And under His wings you shall take refuge.
Now, if you've ever seen a bird or a chicken, when you pull their wings up, they're larger, much larger, way up close to their skin. And He says, I want you to get that close to me. The wings, that's what they call those, not just this wings, but they call that the wings, that huge bone that's under there. Take refuge under His wings, you shall take refuge. Go ahead, Brother Ray.
His truth shall be your shield and buckler.
Amen.
You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Amen.
Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked.
Go ahead, read down verse 12.
Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give you His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.
You may as well read it all. We're almost done.
You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him.
Amen.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Somebody say amen. Ah, that's beautiful. Amen. Good to see you, Kayleen. Good to have Kayleen in the house tonight. And I've got a guest back there. Is that you, Maria? No, it's not. She didn't answer to that. But my sister, it's good to see you here tonight. All right. Brother David. Okay. I wanted to show you something over in John chapter 14. Thank you, guys. I think I'm going to bring a devotional word right here. Now, listen, don't forget that our Esther fast starts on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's the 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to fast from sunup to sundown. Now, I'm going to do the full fast, which is water only. And so if you want to do a liquid fast and you want to do that morning till, you know, sun up to sundown, that would be great. And Esther was praying for her nation. Haman had already presented the whole nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to the king, and they were going to be annihilated. They were going to kill them all. And so she took her chances and went to the king, told her people, let's fast for 3 days. 3 days saved a nation. So you have no idea what a three-day fast can do for you. And if you can't do liquids, do what you can. But let's all fast together, and I'm sure even your kids will want to be a part somewhere in it. Also, I don't say this to you very often, but today is the last day of the month, and tomorrow's going to start a brand new day. June 1st is going to begin tonight at midnight. And you know what I do? Every single first of the month, I've just made a habit of it. I've asked the Holy Spirit to wake me up, and He usually does. But if you don't wake up at midnight and you wake up somewhere in the middle of the night, I want you to go get in your secret place or sit up on your bed, but give Him your undivided attention and say, Lord, I want to give You this month. My month belongs to You, and I'm asking You to lead me and guide me in it. So give Him your month. I'm telling you, it's always been a blessing to me. And when I see that last day, I know the first day of the next month is coming. So let's learn to do that. All right. Well, Sunday morning was good. We talked about Pentecost, but my favorite was last Wednesday night, just to kind of set it up. Today, I had to go to Bakersfield this morning, and so I got back, and I'm thinking all the way here about something I heard on TV yesterday on the show called Better Together. And so on the way home, I'm thinking, well, I think I'll tell them what happened after Pentecost came, after that day in the upper room. And then when I got home, I'm still kind of going to go there, but I want you to see John 14. I just have to brag on Jesus. I just have to show you how wonderful and sweet and good and kind, and you know He's all that. But look at John 14. Look at John 14. This is His last dinner. We call it the Last Supper. And He knows what's coming. He knows He's going to be crucified. He's going to be nailed on a cross. He knows He's going to go pray out there and pray His heart out. He did. I don't know if he, well, yeah, he probably knew he'd sweat great drops of blood. And, but He still said this to the disciples. So I want you to see it in, we won't be here long, but John chapter 14, Brother David, 14, let's start with verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Just a little clip here to advance us just before He died. And just 10, this is 11 days, excuse me, 11, this is 11 days before Pentecost, before the Holy Ghost came. He's such a man of His word. John 14, 15. If you love me, it's all written in red. He's telling His disciples. Now, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper. He'll give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive Him, neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I'll come to you. So He said, don't worry about it. I'm not going to leave you as a little orphan without any help. But I'm going to pray to the Father, and He's going to give you a helper. And I'm thinking, you didn't see those three words very often that says, I will pray by Jesus. Now, He did tell Peter, I'll pray, Peter, that Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I'll pray for you. Here He says, I will pray the Father. In other words, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another comforter. Now, I'm thinking, okay, Jesus, now, You were a man of prayer. You taught the disciples how to pray. But here You're saying, I'm going to pray the Father. I'm going to ask Him to give You a helper. And I'm thinking, well, why? What was preventing Him from doing it right there? Why didn't He just pray there? And say, send the comforter now. Why did it have to be those almost 2 weeks before He came? Well, If I could call this little message something tonight, and I'll do it, Rick. I think this will be worthy of going on the our archives tonight on the online. It's all coming together. I just want to tell you that. It's all coming together. And I have to believe that, and I do believe that. By faith, I know that it's all coming together in the church, and there's a lot of things that have happened over time. Now, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. And the reason he said that, there were some things that had to come together first. I mean, like the cross, like some really tough things had to happen. He had to go to the cross before he could get there. And he wasn't going to pray that on earth because he knew, I'm going to pray this in heaven. See, he knows everything. And you're praying about something, and maybe it hasn't happened yet, but it's all coming together. And Jesus has to, you know, maybe you're praying for your house to sell. Well, you may be praying for your house to sell, but for that to come together, somebody's got to leave their place of work, maybe in Alaska or Sacramento or somewhere, to get where you are. And so all these parts have to come together, and only God knows how to make those connections. He knows how to get us at the right place at the right time. And so he said, in other words, I think they probably felt him saying, don't worry about it. I'll pray to the Father. When? Well, they didn't quite know everything, but he meant when I get there to heaven, and I'll ask him to give you another helper. Now, I want you to see this, the last part of verse 16. He said, because he will abide with you for how long? He's not ever going to leave you. You'll never be left an orphan. He'll always be there. But then I love verse 17. The Spirit of Truth. He's called a lot of things. And he said this world has so many lies in it. You deal with lying people almost every day. If you turn your TV on, we don't even know what the truth is hardly. And I'm glad that he called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. They can't receive him. They don't know him, number one. They can't see him, and they don't know him. But you do. I mean, those poor people, it's your job, and the people in our families, they can't understand because they're trying to understand with their mind. They're trying to understand in the natural, and you and I have him inside, and we're understanding the supernatural thing about him. And so that's why, listen, you're not ashamed of him, but what's that awkwardness we feel? When you're witnessing to a friend or you want to talk about Jesus to them and all of a sudden you feel this awkwardness, you're not ashamed of him. What is it? It's that natural person. They can't get what you're saying. Now, only by the Holy Spirit they can, but then you've got this spiritual heart and they've got a natural heart. So I want to encourage you today, don't be discouraged. When you feel that awkwardness and think, oh, I must not be a Christian because it's so awkward to me. It's them that's awkward, not you. So he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now, they don't get it, but you do. Why? Look at the last line of verse 17. For he dwells with you. Now, that's as far as it went with the disciples. He dwelled with them. He was at the table with them. He was listening to their talk. He would come down on Elijah, but he would go back. When the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon them, that's the moving of the Holy Spirit. He would come and go. But Jesus said, no, he's going to come to earth, and he's just always going to be with you. He's not going to come and go. He's just going to be with you. But to the disciples, he said, right now he's with you, and they're people of God. I mean, they're men and women of God. He's with you now, but look what it said. And he will be in you. And that's what happened in the upper room. He came inside them. That's where we are tonight. Aren't you glad we know him? I'm so glad we have him. I wouldn't want to live 2 seconds without him. He'll be in us. I won't leave you like orphans. All right. So that's all I'm going to say there. Okay. Now I want you to go back up over to Matthew. And I want to show you this, and then we'll pray. And I want to show you the authority and the power we have to pray and how it was given. You say, oh, I know all that, Pastor, I know. But let's just look at this. And I know Easter has passed, but this was just so big on me today. David, Matthew 28, verse 45. Oh, I'm sorry, 27. Matthew 27, 45. Now, from the sixth hour, that's that was noon, actually noonday, 12 o'clock. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness over all the land. Now, those of you know that that word all means a part of a whole. If you've studied that, you know it's a part of a whole. Well, there are three historians that say together, Josephus being one of them, I learned this many, many years ago, that that word all meant all. It didn't mean a part of a whole. And that darkness, that word darkness, was a gradual darkness. So it started getting dark in the morning about 9 o'clock, but by noon, it was getting real dark. So gradually, it just got darker and darker, and then by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when Jesus died, about 3 in the afternoon. And when he died, it was pitch black. Now, can you imagine dying, being nailed to a cross, all this confusion, your brothers, the disciples, they've all left you. Mark records that they all went away. But Mama was there and John was there. And so let's just skip on down to verse 50. They've already put the sponge up to his mouth and he refused all that. Verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. And he yielded up his spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit left him and went back to the Father. And behold, the veil of the temple, or the curtain that was in the temple, the priest used to go. Remember, they'd go on the outer court and sacrifice the little animal. And then they'd go inside, and there were certain priests that had to work over here with the table of showbread, the communion table with the bread. And then they'd have to go over here and minister oil to the light to keep the lamps burning. And then they would go over right in front of the great curtain, which I think was about 60 feet high. This is 30. 60 feet tall and about 30 feet wide. And it was about 6 inches. That curtain was about 6 inches thick. Now, you're talking about velvet stuff. I mean, it was thick. And so these priests are still in there on this feast, and they're in there still sacrificing this lamb, and only one priest could go in there once a year and sacrifice the lamb. And what did he do? He walked right into the holiest of holies to do his thing. And while he was in there, Jesus died. And when he gave up his spirit, it was just nothing but flesh that they put in the ground. When our spirit leaves, all we've got left is the shell of a flesh. They put that in the ground, and his spirit went on back to heaven. And when that happened, it said that darkness was all over the land already. It was just gradually getting dark. But boy, when he died, it was pitch black. Look at this. Verse 51. And then behold, the veil, or that curtain in that temple, was torn in two, T-W-O, two pieces, from the top to the bottom. There was no way, I mean, they didn't have scissors in that day, but there's no way they could cut it. It wasn't, and God ripped it open from the top to the bottom, because possibly, had it ripped from the bottom to the top, they may have said, well, you know, we put our great chariots, and we pulled one this way, and we broke it open. No, so God said, I'll just do it myself. Now, on the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty, rushing, mighty wind. When the Holy Ghost came in, he came in like this, like a tornado, you know, or a plane taken off. There's always great sight and sound. There's always great noise when the Holy Spirit comes in. And when Jesus died again, I mean, he is such a big deal, and he is so supernatural, and he's such a phenomenon. I'm the Holy Spirit, and I don't even have the vocabulary to tell you what I want to say about this. But that curtain was torn from the top to the bottom in two pieces. Look, and the earth quaked, and the rocks split. Can you imagine a big old boulder just splitting wide open all by itself? No one was there to bust that rock. Who could do it anyway? And now it's pitch black. The earth is shaking. The rocks are breaking. The curtain is torn. Now, not everybody knows that, but that priest knew it, and I'm sure he ran out of there like, what in the world just happened? So the earth was shaking. The rocks were breaking. Verse 52, and look at this, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised up. Now, I know without a doubt some of you don't even know that verse is there. But there were a lot of people. And I was thinking, and I thought, I'd like to know who those bodies were. But there's no recording of who came up out of that grave. But it says many, many bodies of the saints. So what gave them the endorsement to get up out of that grave? So many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep. Remember, when people die, he doesn't call them dead. He calls them asleep. Their body is just resting. Their body is sleeping because the spirit is alive and well. So they had fallen asleep, but they woke up. And look at verse 53. If this isn't the creepiest thing you'll ever see. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, look at this. They went into the holy city and they appeared to many. Are you kidding me? How you doing? How you guys doing? You can't fathom that. Verse 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And I said all that to tell you tonight. Do I have a minute to tell you this? Matt Crouch's wife, Lori, she has a women's sit-down group. I think they come on every morning about 10. Ladies, you need to DVR it so you can watch it because they're just a blessing. And they were talking about things, just real-life things. And so I was watching it the other night because I do DVR it. So one of the girls, I think she's a pastor's wife, she was telling how hard life was for her as a pastor's wife. And she had some little kids, and she wasn't always treated good. And she said she got to go to a Joyce Myers crusade. So she goes to the Joyce Myers meeting, and you know how Joyce just lays it all out. And so she said, Joyce said, you know, I had been so crushed and so hurt by this woman in the church. She said, I don't know, I just felt like she hated me, and she was so mean to me. And she said, and the Lord told me one day, she said, God, what are you going to do with her? And he said, I'm going to tell you what to do. You go home and you find something that you love more than anything else, your prized possession, and you give that to her. And she said, I thought, God, that's got to be the devil. That's not you. And so I can't imagine this, but she said her prized possession was some fur coat. Now, this was years ago. So she got this fur coat, and she had known the Lord well enough now to say, okay, Lord, I'll do anything for you. And she took that coat and gave it to that woman. And so the woman received it, and she was kind of cold, and then it made old Joyce Myers just mad, just made her mad. Well, after a while, that woman came after church, and she said, Joyce, that is the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me. And you know how I shine you on. You know how I treat you. No, she said, I want to do it for you, and I want you to forgive me. I've hurt you. She didn't say, if I've hurt you. She said, I knew I'd been offended her some way. So she said, I want you to forgive me. And the lady, so anyway, that just took down all the walls. It got all the mess out of Joyce. She said, I was just miserable. I just had such bitterness in my heart. I was getting where I could hardly function. I just hated everybody. So anyway, This girl then says, there was a woman in the church. She said, I couldn't have children. And so all these girls in the church are having babies. And I would look at them and I'd say, Lord, when are you going to give me a baby? And then she says, I start getting bitter because I don't have any babies. So the Lord said, she said, and this one girl, it just seemed like Hannah. Remember the story with Hannah? Her husband's other wife would bring those babies and put them up in her face and just kind of tempt her with them. And so she says, this girl would come over and always showing her babies. And she knew they were so cute, but it would just hurt her. The Lord said, you heard Joyce. Now you go buy her something. And this woman went to Target and bought her a stroller. And she had a baby on the way, and she had another one, just a little one. And she brought that stroller, and she just knew this woman was going to be so happy. And this woman said, honey, I don't need that stroller. She said, I've already got one of those. She said, I got one of those in my baby shower. She said, what I really need is a dishwasher. Now, this woman wasn't much better than Joyce Meyer, so she didn't like that one bit. And she says, Lord, how rude. How could she be so rude? I just wanted to give her something nice. He said, go get the dishwasher. And she said, we went and charged that dishwasher, and I had it delivered to her house. And she said, you know what? It freed us both. It freed them both. I wish you could have heard that story. I'm sure I didn't do it justice. But you see, when I saw something in this today, when I saw where it said that curtain tore and the earth shook and the rocks broke open, I heard those women talking about how they would get this hurt in them and get pain and a grudge, and they would hold these things against people. And it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we can just put a wall up around us because somebody hurt you. Nobody's going to hurt me again. And I've heard so many people, well, not a whole lot, but I have heard people say, and guys, I'm sorry, but usually it's been at least 3 men I've heard say, I don't trust anybody. Well, you know, I remember telling this one man, well, now you shouldn't brag about that, because there's a whole lot of us that didn't give you any reason to distrust us. You don't really know us, and we haven't hurt your feelings. We've not done anything bad. Yeah, but you might. And so, you know, we get these walls up, and we get this big old thick curtain that's so tall, and it's so wide, and it's just so thick. Then we get these walls, and then when everything gets dark, and then you got this, and you have that. And see, this all had to come together. Jesus had to get to the cross, and he laid his life down. And he did all of that. So you and I can come in here tonight and do what we're going to do. It seems like a little thing, just a little crowd here tonight. But we're going to come in here because we are free to come right in front of him. There's no more veil. Somebody a few years ago got popular, let's go behind the veil. No, you don't go behind the veil because there isn't one anymore. There isn't one. Honey, just turn my phone off there, would you? But there's no veil. And that priest was still back there. And there's still a lot of people that don't know how wonderful dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and get under his wing. And that simple little song, Lord, just open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. And I want to tell you tonight, you guys, this little message is just powerful. I just want to tell you that I believe this is the time. I mean like now. I mean like really soon. I mean like tonight. Where the rocks in your life, maybe you don't even know what to call that rock. Maybe you don't even know what to call that big wall that's so tall around you. Maybe you don't even know what all that's about. But you know what? He does. And Jesus said, You tell them that I brought it all together. I brought everything together tonight so that they could walk right into my throne room, come right where I am, keep their head up and their shoulders back. It does not matter what they did, what they said, who they did it to, or when they did it. All that matters is they come right on in where I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, I don't know what we'd do without you. Well, we wouldn't be doing much without you, that's for sure. And Father, I want to hold up this sweet girl named Jackie, this precious woman, Melody's sister, whose husband, they say, has drowned in the Tule, but they haven't found him. Kern or Tule? Tule. And they haven't found him, Lord. Do you think maybe they could find him? Not drowned? Stand with me. Let's believe God for that. Would you stand with me and let's believe God for that? Lift your hands before the Lord. Her name is Jackie. What's that man's name? Billy. 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 Father, it's been a while and it does look hopeless, but I also read today where Abraham and Sarah believed against hope. They believed against hopelessness. I mean, there was no hope for them to have a baby at their age, but they believed against it and they staggered not. And Lord, if Billy is alive, I pray that you would comfort him and hide him. Hide him away from anything that could harm him. And Lord, I pray that you will give Jackie peace, whether he comes home or whether it was his time to go with you. We can't imagine that poor woman's mind and her heart. But give her peace that passes understanding, Jesus. Our hearts break for you, Jackie. But we lift you up to our God. I mean, we just come right on into his throne room. He just said, you come boldly in here with me. You don't have to crawl in here. You don't have to worry about having the right words. You just come where I am. So, Lord, I'm going to lay Jackie there at your footstool tonight. I ask you to chase death from that man. Lord, your will rest upon them. I pray for Jeremiah, Lord, and strength from him in that relationship. It's a tough place he's in right now. Jeremiah, I pray that you will have the will of God. You will have the very will of the Father. Lord, there's so many people here right now that need to know your will concerning something. As our musicians come back, what is your will? Ask him right now. Let's just get us a place to pray. Come on. Come on. Let's find a place. Get away from your companion. Just kind of move away so you can talk out loud. Because if you know, if you just think about praying, you just think about it, your mind gets distracted. Come on and ask him, what would he do if he were you? Father, what would you do if you were me? What is your will concerning this? And then believe him that he has heard you and that he'll do that. Brother Ted, I want you to come and briefly pray that revival and outpouring. Just keep the lights low a minute. That revival comes to Landmark like now. Okay, come on. We've got to dig our prayers in and for revival. Portia's then going to pray for the mighty outpouring of his power, his presence, and his glory. And then we're going to go. We'll be dismissed. Brother Ted?
Praise God. Heavenly Father, you are the God of many wonders. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Even as Jeremiah said, Lord God, who who lives right there in the highest, the God of gods. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible for you. What is impossible for men is possible to you, Lord. That's why we come before you. Because you are the God of miracles. You are the miracle-working God. And you had promised, Lord, that you will bring revival into this church, Lord. And in so many churches, Lord God, not only in this place, but in places in so many countries around the world. Lord, we seek you tonight. We come before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the boldness that you have given to us that we can come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy from you. And let that revival come in. Let the Holy Spirit come in and break loose in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the things that you are going to do, Lord. We are so expectant for the things that you will do for this house. We honor you and thank you and give you back all the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we're in agreement on touching that one thing on earth. Thank you, Jesus.
When Pastor was teaching tonight and just giving us excellent word, the Holy Spirit said to me, and for everyone here, he is giving you little indications of revival. He is giving them to you, and he wants you to watch and listen and move, because the great outpouring that is coming, and I am certain of it, that the great, great outpouring, I've seen it throughout my life. They call it revival, and it was revival. My daddy and 10 other men that were never going to get saved, they all came in that revival. You know, we've seen it all, but this is going to be bigger and better. But I want you to listen, because it's not just for me, it's not just for you, but it's big, and he's telling you, and it'll grow. So would you guys just come up here and agree with me? I mean, Pastor asked me to pray, but come and join around. You are prayer warriors. Maybe you aren't, but you can be. Come on up and just acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is telling you, and it is part of the great outpouring. Okay. Father, I thank you that my brothers and sisters are agreeing. And Father, I praise you for the Holy Spirit, that you did not leave us here as orphans and helpless. And Father, you are getting ready to do great, greater than our imagination. Father, when the dead are raised up in our midst, we'll go, woo, that was a good one. But you know what? God is going to do great and mighty things. And so, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are standing right here, Father, in agreement. We are all in agreement. We're not coming just to look at each other. We're not coming. We do come to hear Pastor speak and to praise you. But, Father, we are anxiously awaiting the great, great outpouring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, turn his sweet mercy and grace toward you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, may healing and health and blessing and prosperity rest upon you and your home. In Jesus' name. Amen.